Welcome to the Space Show, Norman.
Thank you, Andrew.
Most people know that the Earth orbits a moderately sized star, and that this star called the Sun is one of many billions that are orbiting in a huge whirlpool called the Milky Way galaxy. And we also know that if we look further afield, we see many billions or even millions of other similar sized galaxies all whirling away. And the full set of these galaxies is called the universe. Now, in simple terms, the idea that the universe is expanding is fairly well known, but what is actually expanding? Is it the solar system itself, or the galaxies themselves, or the distances between the galaxies, or the whole universe that's expanding?
It is actually the whole universe expanding. That is, if we see through a sky, really, millions of galaxies are there, and you can't see with the eyes. If you see a telescope, for example, photographic plate, then especially through a big telescope like 200-inch telescope or AAT, Australian Anglo-Australian Telescope, you will see hundreds and millions of galaxies in that plate. And in practice, every galaxy, including our Milky Way, is moving in space away from one another with a particular speed. And that is called the expansion of the universe.
How do we know that this is happening?
The idea came from the fact that we measure distances to all these galaxies in terms of, for example, the distance of the Earth's orbit or diameter of Earth's orbit. Then we can calculate by using known methods how far away these galaxies. But of course, the distances in astronomy is very big. We are talking about light years, and then million light years, and billion light years. And once we know the distances, we can also measure the velocities, that is, the speeds with which these galaxies are moving in space. And they came out to be thousands of kilometers. And most of the velocities are redshifted. That's what we mean is, it shows that all the galaxies going away from one another. Whatever direction you see, it is not constant. It is the same in any direction you look at anywhere from in the sky. So, therefore, we believe that they are moving apart from one another.
So they're all moving apart at thousands of kilometers per second. Are there any galaxies coming towards us?
No, actually, not even a single galaxy is falling towards us. Every galaxy cluster is moving away from one another. But the speed with which it's going away is called the Hubble constant. And that is the rate at which it's expanding. And that's constant in whatever direction you see.
So the conclusion then is quite inescapable, that the universe is expanding.
Oh, it is. To help you to visualize, for example, you can think of a sort of a balloon or something where all these galaxies are, suppose, embedded. Then if you expand the balloon, I'm talking only two-dimensional space, you will see these points are moving apart from one another. And thereby, it doesn't make a difference whether it's Milky Way is moving or other galaxies are moving. If you go and sit in the other galaxy, you will see our Milky Way also is moving apart. And thereby, we say that we are not in any unique position in the universe. We are in an ordinary position like any other galaxy in the universe.
When was this discovered, that the universe was expanding?
This discovery began only in this beginning of this century. Past centuries, people always thought that all the stars and galaxies which they see in the sky fixed in the universe, and they don't move at all. And they thought Sun is the center of the universe, and all these objects are fixed in a sort of sphere. But the beginning of this century, Einstein really began thinking that if the gravity is really working, and if all these objects are distributed uniformly, they should collapse naturally. To prevent that collapse, there should be some other force you want. And first he thought it may be a sort of a cosmological constant and left it there. Then the big telescopes were built, and the distances were measured, and Hubble really discovered that the galaxies are expanding. And once that discovery happened, Einstein very clear that the force which is stopping from collapse is the expansion. Therefore, the expansion force and the gravitational force between galaxies are, in a way, competing each other.
So Hubble was the one who did the first observational evidence.
Yes. However, the rate of expansion was really very much something like 500 kilometers per second per megaparsec, which was very badly out. Now, the present number, which we decided here in Australia, using the Anglo-Australian telescope and other telescopes around, we think it is only expanding with 70 kilometers per second per megaparsec, and which really improved value something like 7 times what used to be Hubble. Otherwise, the idea of expansion of the universe emanated from Hubble.
So if we know the universe is expanding and we know the rate at which it's expanding, presumably we can run the clock backwards and sort of arrive at some time when it must have all been much closer together than it is today. In fact, perhaps when it was at a single point.
Indeed, that's true. Once the idea of expansion came into our idea, then we know there must be a present, there must be a past, and there must be a future. You can extrapolate that. Therefore, we know the expansion rate, and therefore the inverse of the expansion rate will give you some idea when exactly all this began. And indeed, if you take this value of 75 kilometers per second per megaparsec as a rate now, that turns out to be something like 14.5 billion years before the whole thing began to expand.
Are all scientists agreed on that value now?
Yes, indeed. There are other ways you can confirm that. For example, what is the age of our oldest objects in our galaxy? For example, globular clusters are there in our galaxy, whose ages can be determined by other methods from stellar evolution techniques. And we find it is something like 13 to 14 billion years old. And of course, there are other ways also, like white dwarf dating, and also the radioactive decay, and all these things gives you roughly of that order.
So if we read in books that the universe is 10 billion years old or 20 billion years old, these are really earlier estimates. We've now got refined it down to a better answer.
Yeah, I think that's a very difficult thing to say, because it all depends on how accurate this expansion rate is determined. And not only accuracy, but also the methodology which you adopt and how far the volume you really analyze to determine this particular value. And of course, people differ in values, but there's an error there, of course, about 1 or 2 billion years you can put it in.
So how did the universe begin? What's the currently accepted idea of the beginning of the universe now?
Yeah, for this expansion of the universe idea, really, which is the most important one, gives us something happened, some violent thing it happened 14 or 15 billion years ago. And that is, we think, a sort of a big bang, something like a big explosion happened at that time. And the evidence what kind of explosion is comes from the fact that there was a discovery made in the 60s that the Earth in many directions, the sky, we saw a black body radiation with the 3 degree K temperature. That is, if you measure the temperature of that radiation, it came out to be 3 degree Kelvin, which is very cool. Now, if you extrapolate 15 billion years ago, this particular black body radiation, it turns out to be, is very hot, something like 10 to the power of 27 degrees centigrade. And therefore, we think the whole universe was born something like 15 billion years ago in a hot Big Bang. And the radiation from that fireball really expanded continuously for the past 15 billion years, and now it's redshifted and we are seeing it as the 3 degree K background, which is pervading all around our Earth.
This radiation, of course, isn't so easily observed from the Earth, is it?
Yes, very difficult, and it has to be done from satellites. And actually, one satellite is gone specially for that purpose, called COBE. And that satellite has measured this particular radiation very accurately. And one of the important things came out of that is they measured this radiation in different wavelengths and found the curve fits very accurately to a black body radiation. And therefore, it's very difficult to fit that radiation to any other sources. Therefore, it really confirms the Big Bang theory of the origin of the universe. And also latest one, if you heard a week or two before, a big news flash came through. That is, in this radiation, even though it was uniform until a few weeks ago, I mean up to a level of temperature, they found very faint fluctuations in this radiation, which is the order of only microkelvin. And that's why it's very, very small amplitude. And therefore, it took a long time to discover that. And that is one important thing happened. And that indicates that the original Big Bang was not very uniform. There were some distortions and fluctuations in that. And those fluctuations actually grew into present galaxies and clusters. And therefore, in that way, the COBE results are very, very important and confirms the origin, that whole universe origin in Big Bang.
Because that's been one of the problems, hasn't it, in the past, that we looked at the radiation we could measure from the Earth, and it seemed to be the same in all directions, didn't it?
Yes, I think that's true. That's because the instruments were not really sensitive enough to find the variation. But now they have made the instrument in such a fashion that you can detect very, very small variations. Therefore, in principle, what we are saying is, originally, in the Big Bang, there were not very many tremendous fluctuations. Only very, very small fluctuations were there. And that fluctuation has been magnified or inflated to big sizes. For example, they also see in this latest results, the structures of these fluctuations are of the order of 7 degrees, 10 degrees to 90 degrees. That means very big in the structures in the sky. And if you really want such big structures, you can't produce it any other way except inflation universe. Therefore, in a way, it also confirms the theoretical aspect that the beginning, very, very beginning of the Big Bang, there is suddenly big exponential expansion happened, and thereby these structures were become big.
So we can now, well, in the past, some scientists did argue that against the Big Bang model, that the galaxies couldn't be formed because the universe was too uniform. So COBE has now proven that right at the very earliest times that there were these slight unevenness or roughness in the universe that did allow the collapse to form stars and galaxies and so on.
Yeah, I think that's a very important implication from this result. And it lays a foundation for the small fluctuations. Actually, they were searching for so many years now, about 20 years actually, to find fluctuations. But only thing is, the fluctuations are very, very small. And that indicates that all the galaxy is not made of baryons. Baryons is protons and neutrons. And there must be some cold, dark matter in it, which make up for 80-90% of the total mass of the galaxies and clusters.
So the protons and neutrons are the particles that make up the atoms.
And they are the thing which we see, visible universe. And that happened to be only about a few percent of the mass we see. And this particular discovery shows that most of the matter is cold dark matter, which is weak interacting particles, which interact with the baryons in the beginning of the universe, and therefore relics left behind from the Big Bang.
So we don't see this matter, these particles, and so therefore that's been one of the problems, hasn't it, in the past with astronomy, and brings me to the old adage that what goes up must come down, and the idea that there's a big explosion, that matter was thrown out, and that gravity presumably would be slowing that down, and perhaps ultimately stopping the expanding universe and bringing it all crashing back into a point again. Is the slowing down effect actually measurable?
Yes, I think that's a very important question you ask, Andrew. That is, the main two forces working in the universe, as we know now, is gravity, which is trying to collapse the universe, attract each other. Every object attracts every other object. The expansion tried to take the object away from it. Now, these two forces, how far it's balanced, depends on how much the mass of the galaxies are. What is the mass of the universe? And we know to close the universe, we want some particular density. It's called critical density, we call them. If that density is measurably seen in the universe, then we can say it's closed. But now, in visible matter, what we see is only about few percent of the critical density. Therefore, if you only take into account the visible part of the universe, there's not sufficient mass to stop expansion. It will be expanding forever. However, if you listen to theoreticians and they think that there are a sufficient mass in the universe which really can just balance the expansion, only coming years will tell. And a lot of theoretical work to be done, and also the theoretical work, those particles are to be really found in the Earth. And a lot of experiments going around in many universities, and I hope within 10 years, something like 10, 15 years, there'd be definitely great interest in finding out these particles.
And if they are found, that means the universe will collapse and perhaps end up in a big crunch?
Yes, that is a possibility. Of course, again, when they are found, we should also see how much it is compared to the critical density which is required for the collapse. Therefore, I think better we wait what's the answer going to be.
So no predictions. We know the universe started nearly 15 billion years ago, but no predictions as to when it might end.
I think it's very difficult at this moment to say. There's also other problems. Even though I have told you the great positive aspects of these discoveries we made recently, there are also some problems on that. The fluctuations we see can explain large-scale structures, in the sense that the supercluster scale, something like 100 megaparsecs, 150 megaparsec size, we can explain them. But small galaxy formations, it cannot explain, because it gives a lot of gravity, and they'll collapse. And therefore, there are problems still to be tackled, and probably large-scale structures decided by the initial fluctuations, and galaxy formation has been induced by other processes. Therefore, we have to see all these things.
You mentioned earlier about some work being done on Australia. What is being done in Australia here on the sort of area of work?
Yes, I think we study in Mount Stromlo Observatory many aspects corresponding to large-scale structure and also the Hubble constant. Hubble constant-wise, we have initiated a program to determine distances of the nearby galaxies with respect to clusters in our own galaxy, and then to extend that to Large Magellanic Cloud and the Small Magellanic Cloud and M31 and NGC300, and use these distances to calibrate the other distance indicators like Tully-Fisher relations and color magnitude relations for elliptical galaxies, and then that is used to determine distances to galaxy and galaxy clusters up to 100 megaparsec. And this gives us the opportunity to study what is the relation between the velocity and the distance in this region of 100 megaparsec volume. And also, there are problems like whether, as I told you, that if there is a heavy mass sitting somewhere and a small galaxy sitting very near that, naturally attract towards it, like great attractor problem, probably you would have heard of that. And that also is being looked into very carefully here in this in Stromlo. And large-scale structure, in the sense that going up to something like 50,000 kilometers, how the structure looks, because there's always a possibility that the uniformity of galaxy distribution is not seen anymore. There are voids, there are walls, great walls, all seen in the sky, and that's what being delineated. And therefore, these are the problems that are being looked into in Stromlo.
Well, thank you, Norman, for joining us tonight on the Space Show.
Thank you very much, Andrew.